the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University. It's the Bloomington mayor. Terry Renner joins us on the line. Hi, Terry.
Good morning. How you doing, Scott?
I'm all right. Are you doing May term?
Yes. So it's 9 to 12 every day. And so, of course, this is, you know, I'm trying to get used to juggling what are really two full-time gigs. And sometimes I don't have real life.
Quit the college gig.
Pardon me?
Quit the college gig and just focus on the city. That way you won't be so cranky.
Well, then actually, it's kind of the reverse. and I can't afford to live on, $12,000 a year, which is what the mayor's earn, mayor earns. And that, of course, is not changed in well over a generation. But obviously, we don't do it for the money. And certainly the longer I'm mayor, the more that I have respect for previous mayors and
all right.
the trials and tribulations that they face.
You don't do it for the money. What do you do it for?
I try to make the community a much better place. And to make sure that especially Bloomington has so many wonderful assets and we can leverage those to really grow the local economy, in the 21st century that I think we've been leaving on the ground. And that is we've got this new multi-million-dollar investment on Constitution Trail in Bloomington, the first one in Bloomington with Greentop. Obviously, we're working with Dick's Sporting Goods for the new Colonial Plaza. Hy-Vee, we've had successes in Ovation, the Kroger. Downtown revitalization. I mean, we are really putting the pedal to the metal on economic development and job creation in our city. And we're also trying to make up for decades of neglect on our streets and infrastructure.
Well, yeah, we talked to Jim Karch and David Hales about that yesterday. The maps are online, by the way, if you go to the City of Bloomington website. And I think it's right there on the front page, upper right-hand corner, if my memory serves me. You can see if your street's going to get resurfaced. $3.8 million worth of resurfacing being done this summer?
Correct. And we're also, the total is nearly $10 million with the other kinds of infrastructure because clearly you have to have a holistic perspective. You can't pave over a street if you're going to have to tear it up to fix the sewers in
right.
5 years, right? And the same thing with respect to sidewalks. So the total figure is nearly $10 million this year, and that's not counting a bond. That's the actual money that we have. That's we're paying pay-as-you-go, but we also have a long-term bond that we're very likely to issue. And so in the next few years, people are really going to be able to begin to finally see some relief in our streets because, again, you can't make up for decades of neglect in 2 or 3 years, but I would say within the next 3 to 4 years, we will be very close to having decent infrastructure.
All right. Let's talk about downtown and possibility of a TIF district downtown.
Okay, and then just to clarify, it's not like the TIF district that was created in 1987 in downtown. It's not all of downtown. It's three clearly dilapidated blocks that are underperforming, to put it charitably, right? And so they're either abandoned buildings or, in the case of the front and center building, the largest fire hazard in our downtown. So those three blocks would be created. We would create a TIF district for, and that would be to encourage private investment, and obviously the immediate proposal is over $50 million private investment on that site, and that would be the largest private investment in our downtown in two generations.
And talk about the incentive again. I mean, we talked with it because my head spins sometimes. So
it's fairly complicated, but the basic concept, I mean, the details are far complicated. That's why you have to, unfortunately, you have to have a TIF attorney and all this other stuff. But the idea is right now we're getting very little money in property taxes on that site. When we have a conference center, parking garage, hotel, restaurants on that site, the 50-some million dollars of private investment, the property taxes are going to go up. What a TIF does is it allows you to take those property taxes, that increment, tax increment finance, that increment in property taxes, and pay off perhaps the city's bond if we were to issue a bond, let's say for a parking garage, as our part of the deal, our skin in the game. That's yet to be determined. But the thing that I've made clear is that this project has to pay for itself. We are not going to allocate any existing revenues that we have right now. That is, but for the private investment, we would not have a dramatic increase in property taxes on that site. But for the private investment, we would not have any hotel motel taxes or sales taxes. We're getting nothing on that site right now in terms of hotel motel sales taxes, restaurant taxes, right? And so if we were to rebate some of that to cover some of the upfront costs of fixing or putting the private investment in the building, then This is a way that you leverage your economic assets. It's, I mean, Normal has done this, you know, which was a great deal of success, right? Over a decade ago, Uptown Normal was an EPA, you had an EPA Superfund waste site, you had abandoned buildings, you had vacant lots, and now it's an engine of economic growth. It's a destination. We have an easier task, in a sense, in downtown. We do not have to invest any current tax dollars because we've got a lot of the good bones, and we've got lots of really old good buildings, right? We just need to use them more effectively. This particular area is the most problematic in downtown, and it will help link the Coliseum to the core of downtown and the Route 66 Visitor Center. So already we are beginning to see serious private investors who want to invest and improve the properties around the Coliseum once this is approved. Because if you have a 50-some million-dollar investment across from the Coliseum, the adjacent properties in the area south of the Coliseum will certainly be worth considerably more.
But, you know, Terry, when they started talking about back in the day, it was the arena. And I remember seeing people. We all met at I don't know what we called it at the time, but Scottish Rite Temple, I don't know how many years ago. And you had people, you had business people that owned buildings downtown Bloomington. They were all for the arena. And I was under the impression you build the arena and it's going to improve the properties around. People would invest in their properties around. And we didn't see that. One of the buildings you're talking about tearing down was the Illinois Brewing Company. Was that the name of it? That's Catty Corner. That place was horrible when it was open. They didn't put a nickel into that place.
Right. No, the whole thing is that whole building is as I say, the worst fire hazard in our downtown.
Right.
Now, there's a couple of differences, and that is the Coliseum was the city's, all the city's skin in the game. That was city taxpayer dollars, right? And obviously it was oversold. It also opened at the time where the economy began to collapse. But basically, this is not at all like the Coliseum. This is a private investment, and the Coliseum, because it was not connected to anything, was isolated from the rest of downtown. This links the Coliseum to downtown and the other areas. It also, depending on the size of the parking garage, may very well solve most of our parking problems in downtown, at least in that region, for the foreseeable future. So, again, this is a fundamentally different type of situation.
So for the people wringing their hands, they're not going to be dealt another Coliseum. Worst case scenario, this thing ends up being that hotel in North Normal, boarded up and unoccupied for a decade. The city is not responsible for making any payments to this building.
Not on the building. We might very well be. We haven't determined the details of it yet, but our skin in the game might be building the parking garage. We don't own any hotel. This is a privately owned hotel, right? And so what we would do is the tax increment finance, additional money, would potentially be used to pay off. If it's determined that our skin in the game is to build the parking garage, we'd pay for the parking garage,
okay. Right?
The bond. Now, so and people have sometimes said, well, what about the occupancy rates? Well, obviously, somebody is not coming into downtown Bloomington and in a $50 million private investment, 50 plus million, unless they know that they're convinced that this can work. Now, the second thing is though that. We are talking about hotel, conference center, all these other things. If the occupancy rate is low, they still have to pay their property taxes.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing, that the occupancy rate, whether it's 58% or 62% or 48%, is really immaterial. We're going to protect the taxpayers in this contract, unlike many, many contracts in Bloomington for decades.
And what
many times taxpayers have gotten a raw deal, and we're going to protect our taxpayers.
What is the occupancy rate, the average occupancy rate of hotels that exist now? In Bloomington,
it's somewhere in the 60% range, but that's a misleading figure. The ones that are the higher ones are like this, and that is if you're looking at the Uptown Marriott, you know, the new hotels. Again, kind of backing up, in terms of downtowns, we are not alone. When I go to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, pretty much every mayor, whether they're a Democrat, Republican, nonpartisan, whoever they are, everybody is at some phase of revitalizing their downtowns. Because they realize in the 21st century, building more strip malls is not the means to achieve economic success in the long term. And so some of them are much further along than we are. Some of them are not as far along as we are. Some of them have real serious challenges. And at this point, our downtown is not just our culture core, our historic core, but it's definitely the way by which we will grow our local economy in the future. Again, it's not just downtown.
Right.
We obviously have moved with Hy-Vee, Ovation Cinemas, working with them to give them a liquor license to revitalize that. We've got Dick's, we've got Kroger, we've got Green Top. We're trying to improve the area south of the library. So we are moving on many, many, many fronts. But downtown has to be a central piece of growing the local economy.
All right, so the TIF district will handle basically that block, three couple blocks there, right?
The three blocks.
So, okay,
exactly.
So who?
The blocks, all right. Right across from the Coliseum,
right.
And then diagonally the front and center Old People State Bank building.
So the beneficiaries of that are the city of Bloomington, because you're going to get more tax dollars from a nicer building and a hotel. The developer, because they're going to get tax breaks.
Then we hope to get more. Certainly, I'm not making any kinds of promises about what kinds of gigs we'll get in the Coliseum, new events, but surely we'll get more, especially now that we have Venue Works, which are really a breath of fresh air. So let's say we even get, just 10 more events, major events during the year, not even one a month more in the Coliseum. That helps reduce the red ink and of the operating costs of the Coliseum, and or even if the Coliseum's operating costs break even, we still have the $2 million a year mortgage payment to make. So even if we, conservatively speaking, get a few handfuls of new events, it's not just that downtown is more of a destination, but that helps reduce our bottom line.
Okay.
This is an outside person, Steve Freeman Associates, who's been in this business for nearly 40 years. He's vetted these proposals all his life. It's not me saying this. This is not our city manager or staff saying this. These are outside people saying this project can more than pay for itself, and you'll still get up to another $10 million of new revenue over the next decade. And that's not counting at all any new gigs in the Coliseum or many new events in the Coliseum.
Okay. You know, we're taking
that. So I want to underpromise and overdeliver, because we have had with the Coliseum, it was the reverse, right? And there's a lot of bad blood,
yeah,
because of that. And this is not like the Coliseum, in other than the fact that it's downtown.
Okay, TIF district, we made the beneficiaries. Who loses here? Schools lose out. There was some concern.
Well, at this point, nobody's going to get less than they're currently getting. District 87 will get no less than they're currently getting from that site, right? See, so whatever the tax increment is today, I believe on the front and center block, the city was getting about $4,500 in property taxes. That would mean that District 87 is probably getting about four times that amount from that site. They're not going to get in. There's no reductions to District 87, no reductions to the city of Bloomington.
All right.
It's the increased property taxes that result from the $50 million-plus private investment that are put into the fund.
All right, real quick, because I'm out of time, and I promise, Eric, I'd ask you this question last night. Liquor Commission,
a
place called Lucky Sevens. Mm-hmm. You kind of put them on notice. This is a small restaurant bar with gambling machines?
Essentially, that's correct.
All right.
And our ordinance says that essentially you can't have a video poker bar, that is, where you're primarily a video poker gambling site. You have to have most of your receipts coming from food or alcohol. And when Lucky Seven initially opened, it was really clear from the receipts that the gambling far exceeded the food and beverage, and now it's they're changing. They're changing their business model a little bit, and I think there are a variety of reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
So they are making an attempt to comply with the ordinance. And so we're working with them. Essentially, if they were recalcitrant and they were digging in their heels, well, then we'd have to be bad cop and really aggressively enforce our ordinances. Certainly, of all my faults, and I have many, aggressively enforcing our liquor laws has not been something I've shied away from.
All right, so
I've held people's feet to the fire.
So this is basically, you're saying this is the main reason this exists is for gambling, and that's not what you want to see in Bloomington. You've got to be serving food and alcohol, and oh, by the way, if you can make a little money on the machines, that's fine too.
Essentially, but yeah. I think the that our ordinance says you can't be that type of facility.
Oh, okay. There's an ordinance. All right.
And now, I don't think mostly video poker machines are not making a little money on the side, right? They are extremely profitable. One bar owner who was one of the few that were noisy and was against any kind of increase and apparently wanted the taxpayers to continue to foot the bill for liquor enforcement, was complaining he had a $1 million investment in his facility. And that's true. But over 6 years, He got all of that back just from video poker machines, not selling a drop of alcohol, not selling any wings, but the net profit. I mean, it's really quite surprising.
All right.
So it's a very lucrative situation, and we now have, you know, we've got over a $50 million gambling industry in Bloomington. That's how much money is put into the video poker machine.
All right.
So the council's concerned about trying to not become gambling central of Central Illinois.
But wouldn't that benefit the city if it did?
Well, there would be some benefits, but there are also costs associated, especially when you mix liquor and gambling. That can be, in many cases, combustible, and we've seen it in a restaurant in South Bloomington, where we had parties that went in a residential neighborhood and didn't get out till 2 in the morning, and we had police called there for every single weekend for 4 or 5 months in a row. But we stopped that.
Hey, we've already been there. Last time I brought it up, you got upset with me. So...
okay. Well, I didn't name the restaurant.
I know. All right. Well, here's. I'll just say that. I talked to one of the. I think it was one of the. I don't know who it was anymore, but they were on the other side of this, and I said, you know, the city's asking you for money. The state of Illinois isn't allowing gambling because they want us to be entertained. They're allowing gambling so they can rake in the money. Why are you shocked by the fact that these communities have their hands out now and want a little more? The whole idea behind gambling was a revenue-generating machine.
Well, I think you're right from the perspective of the state. In terms of locals, when you talk to mayors and council members throughout the state, they're seeing the exact same things I'm seeing on a daily basis as mayor and liquor commissioner. When you have liquor throughout the world, liquor enforcement costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of people into certain places, it costs you money, and especially when that's combined with gambling. So we're just trying to recover a little bit of the costs that the taxpayers have been footing for 34 years from the liquor and gambling industry in Bloomington.
You could get
and
rid of
the amounts that we were proposing were very small, very modest.
Why don't you, not all communities embrace this. Their gambling machines are not allowed in many communities in Illinois.
Well, that is one possibility. We can absolutely exercise our home rule authority to say no video poker machines in the city of Bloomington. And that is absolutely one policy option that I think should be on the table.
All right. With that, we'll let you go and talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thank you.